So in that last video, I introduced you to the Eisenhower matrix and just wanted to show you practically here how it is that we can use this matrix to best and most effectively analyze and critique our own to-do lists and the goals that we set ourselves on a day-to-day basis, or the goals that other people might place upon us. Very, very simple matrix like this, where, and if you have a, a template, I think we provide one in the resource that we built into that last section. Every single day, if you're wondering what to do first and the best way to invest your time, then just write all your goals out in these four categories to allow you to obviously become more effective. Now, this framework can actually be used in an alternative way as well. So I want to build upon this now. All right. This is the goal efficiency matrix. All right. So obviously that last Eisenhower matrix, we looked at whether goals are urgent or important, or urgent unimportant, or otherwise, or whatever. And here, it's about us looking at the goals that we might be inclined to invest our time into, and then deciding who they're actually going to serve. All right? Because sometimes we can invest our time and energies and efforts into goals that we believe are urgent, or sometimes goals that we believe are important, but they don't actually ever serve neither man nor beast. All right, so until we start getting really efficient and really effective in the goal setting process, until we start getting really effective in life, then this is kind of the second framework or the second model that I would use to analyze and critique your goals. All right, now just you build this into your own life first and foremost, and if this works for you, and if you find that this starts enabling you to be more productive and effective in your time, then and only then you're going to feel totally confident to start sharing it with your clients. All right, remember, we've created all these resources for you, so you don't have to create them for yourself. Share them with your clients, right, to help them get that result. So the goal efficiency matrix looks like this. There's going to be goals that we commit to pursuing in life that are that will allow me to win, but perhaps result in someone else losing. So we have these kinds of scenarios: I win, you lose. For example, a goal that I pursue where I make money, but you lose it. So I'll make a decision here, and I'm okay, but you're not okay. It doesn't matter as long as I'm all right. Now, we've got to then decide whether those are the kind of goals that we want to pursue, and whether we actually want to live our lives in this way or not. Where, like, I get ahead, you don't get ahead. Life's all about me. Kind of screw everyone else, screw the world. There's these sorts of goals which are, best option for me, but second best option for other people. And here, I am my number one priority. Man, mind thyself. I'm okay. Doesn't matter about anyone else. Right. I'm pretty sure you know some people who live their lives in this way. All right. The decisions that they make pretty much serve themselves, but no one else. All right. So, there's the second way of analyzing and critiquing the goals that we might pursue. And this is where you win, I lose. All right. Now, believe it or not, I pretty much operated this from this place for quite a number of years of my life, right? Especially in business, where I would sometimes prioritize other people before myself, and this would sometimes come at the cost to me. Sometimes it actually came at the cost to me and Karen, us financially moving forward in our lives, or actually getting closer to some of the more important goals that we had. We made some business decisions, in recent years that cost us to the point that it actually really held us back from getting the family home that we really needed to have, or that we wanted to have in place to start adopting kids. All right. Now, I'm not saying that there's goals that we'll pursue that are good or bad. I'm just saying we need to get clear on this opportunity cost thing that's going on. If we're saying yes to something, then it might be coming at the cost to someone. It might be coming at the cost to someone else, or it might be coming at the cost to us. And we need to get clear on what the cost is of our every decision. So, in terms of this way of analysing our goals, what is it that would drive a person to commit to pursuing, goals or taking action that comes at the cost to his or herself? Sometimes, believe it or not, it can be irresponsibility and even apathy. All right, and it actually can be in an ironic kind of way, where it's easier to focus on other people's needs than what it is on our own. Sometimes pursuing our own needs in life can require a lot of hard work and effort, sometimes the hard work and effort that we don't actually want to invest at this stage or can't be bothered. It might sound crazy, but many people operate in this place. Hence the reason many people will come to life coaching, because they don't have what they want in life. And sometimes life coaches can be great at this. All right, I've known many life coaches and helping practitioners over the years who will end up saying yes to this client and yes to that client, and clients come along and some play the sob story and say, but I'm broke, but I'm poor, but I can't afford to pay for this. And because some people get into this industry with a genuine desire to help and serve people, they end up helping and serving all of these people, and it comes at the cost to themselves and their own financial livelihood. All right, so I'm saying practically, we've got to count the cost. If we're saying yes to something, what's it costing us? What's it costing other people? All right, that's pretty much what this exercise or what this framework's all about. Now, sometimes this will sound crazy, right? But some people pursue decisions and paths and roads in life where no one wins, all right? There's some decisions that I've made in my past didn't serve me, didn't serve other people. All right. For example, when I was going on this downward spiral of self-destruction back in, between 2006 and 2008, I was gambling a lot back then. I was drinking a lot, taking a lot of drugs, and getting myself into a lot of trouble, making some seriously reckless decisions. I wasn't serving me, and I wasn't serving other people, right? What my priority back then was me just feeling better within myself. So all of the actions, all the decisions that I was making were for the purpose of getting some sort of instant gratification, some quick fix feeling, right? That was what the pursuit of happiness got me in life, absolutely nothing. In fact, it ended up leading me to this place of being completely broke and isolated, stranded on the other side of the world. Some people do this. Sometimes, people will not change in life until the desire to change becomes greater than their desire to remain the same. And sometimes some of the greatest shifts we must make, right, in our own persons is the reasons why we're doing what we're doing. All right, seriously, sometimes we need a more meaningful vision for our futures than the vision we've committed to pursuing in the past. All right, what I'm going to suggest is that the wisest and most mature course of action that we can take in life is one of unity. Let me cast your mind back to the choices of maturity and character framework that I shared with you. Very, very easy, isn't it? To be pro-disunity, to say, I don't see eye to eye with that person, therefore, you know, we'll just walk away and we'll go. Or, you know, one political leader says, well, I don't see eye to eye with that political leader, therefore, we're gonna separate and we're not gonna, you know, work to resolve anything within ourselves. That requires substance and character and maturity and unconditional positive regard and acceptance, which not all people in the world get, especially political and religious leaders at times, all right? But here's the thing, if we want to be effective in life, this and these are the outcomes that we've got to be looking for. Right, life is a negotiation, right? It must be all of the time. We're all at different levels, we're all at different stages of life, and we all have different goals based upon where we are on our life's journey, all right? So what I would suggest is creating win-win scenarios. Must come through conversation, first and foremost. If a person has a goal and they're figuring out whether or not to invest time into pursuing this goal or not. So first and foremost, we'll look at the reason why. Is the reason why the person's pursuing this goal just to get something for themselves, i.e. money, or make a name for themselves, or is this person actually committed to the process of making a difference or making an impact? All right. What I've found is that when I committed to making a difference in the world, all right, through the process, I made a name for myself, and I ended up making money as well. Win-win, right? When I made more money, it wasn't that I was ever motivated by money, but I'm not opposed to having more money because I understand that money is an enabler. Money, having money is better than having no money. Many people that I've coached over the years just say, I just want to help people. I don't want to charge for it. I'm going to suggest that's extremely naive. That's a very, very unwise way of looking at life. Why? Because we can be as wise as we want to be in life. We can have as much knowledge rattling around in our minds as what we want. But if we have knowledge and wisdom without money, then we don't have influence. Why? Because money is the currency of the world. All right? When you have money, people generally want money, which gives you, therefore, then influence. So it's good to have both. All right? It's good to have both, but not be driven by both. You with me? So, I win, you win scenarios. And this is where people are working with shared goals, perhaps towards a common purpose or a shared vision or something like this. For example, mine and Karen's marriage. All right? We're working together, building a business so that we can both prepare to be available parents. Guess what? Karen's goals aren't too dissimilar from mine. We work with a team of people here in Scotland who are all self-employed at different stages of self-employment. And we understand that if we continue to create training courses like this that sell, then the money that comes in can get invested into creating other products and services, which keeps other people in work. So it's kind of like a win-win-win scenario. Without the products being created, there's not additional money to pay people for their efforts. So collaboration is kind of what it's all about. And I don't create training courses like this all by myself. Absolutely not. I'm just the guy that gets in front of the camera and talks and does all these nice slideshows, right? But I don't do the video work. I don't do the editing. I don't create all the workbooks and stuff like that. Oh, no, that's not me. It's a team effort, all right? So I'm genuinely of the mindset that we are better working together, all right? But many people become these one-man bands and one-person islands in life, trying to do everything by themselves. But we've got to look and honestly evaluate how effective we're actually being in our endeavours and our efforts. So if we want to establish how efficient we are in our goal-setting pursuits on a day-to-day basis, let's look and honestly answer the question: are the goals and the outcomes that we're investing time, energy, effort, money into just for us? I win, you win, other people lose, or other people win but you lose. Are your energies and efforts being spent actually costing you more? Is anyone winning at all, or is actually just everyone losing? Or are you working on collaborating well with others to create some kind of win-win scenario? All right, I'm not saying this is going to be relevant or appropriate for all people all of the time, but what I am saying is when we start thinking in this way and when our clients start thinking in this way, then again, it leads us to ask far more effective questions, such as, how am I being for these other people? Is there some information that I've not shared that I perhaps could share so that I'm better understood? Is there some information that I perhaps don't have that I need to have so that I better understand these other people? And how is it that we can actually work more effectively with others for the purpose of getting more done in lesser time? All right, so this is kind of the goal setting efficiency matrix. Take it, leave it, use it or lose it is entirely up to you. But in the additional materials section, as I've mentioned, we've got another little framework like this that would urge you just to review your goals through, all right? Just to see whether there's any amendments that you'd like to make or not. And if you apply this to your own goals, and this helps you to become, more critical of your own goals and therefore more effective in your prioritizing of these goals, then you're obviously going to become convinced on how beneficial it's going to be for your clients also. All right, so hope you've found this idea helpful. Hope you do find it helpful moving forward for building and basing your decisions upon. And I'll look forward to seeing you again in the next clip.